So, last time, several weeks ago, we began Perikov Tess. Perikov Tess is known as the emotional Perik in Tanya, where so many of the other Perikim are very intellectual. This one is much more emotional. And what he addresses head-on is what to do with those of us who are not moved by spiritual experiences, by contemplation, by pondering godliness. It just doesn't do anything for us. It doesn't move us anywhere. We can listen to it all day and all night, and we're unaffected by it. I can't imagine that you guys, but I'm sure you've heard stories like this, that there are people that are this way, that just are not easily moved. Not that you've ever met actually anybody that way, but you've heard about people who are not moved that way. So, the Baal Tanya says that you got to deal with it, and Ramatala in Pelagoyitz speaks many times about utilizing this method as the method of preparation for tefillah. And that is head-on collision. Take on your Yitzhara. Speak in first person to your evil inclination, calling him on his denial of the obvious. How can you deny the Ribbono Shel'Olam's dominion over everything? How could you be so blind not to recognize that even Ra itself is supported and sustained by Hashem every minute of the day, and without it, nothing can exist? And how dare you attempt to deceive me of the truth? And that's how he concluded last week. And he said, obviously, for a person who has compromised with various averus, various sins in their lives, that they need to confront themselves and verbally, audibly scream at themselves, Meshukat, Mesuav, you lowlife, you abomination, you just really beat up on oneself. Because what that does is that opens the person up to be able to experience a truly godly experience. Okay? Obviously, there was much more. If you want to get the details on this, it's the 50th session that we did. So now we're going to take it up from the first word on page 74, the Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Page 74, huh?
Not last week.
What?
Not last week.
We haven't met since before Pesach. Behine, al yudei zeh, yoyo lenafshoi holikis, lahoir eineho be'emes. By doing this battle, by having this confrontation, Mendel, come around over here. By having this confrontation, screaming at oneself, really getting into it with one's physical drive, this will assist one's godly soul to be able to open up its eyes in truth with a yichud oirin seif. This is what allows a person to be able to have a unity with the infinite. B'riya chushis, with an actual visual experience, and not just an intellectual understanding, but a real interactive godly experience. This is the root and the source of all avodah. What is? Being able to have an interaction with the Ribbono Shel Olam is where it's all at. Dveikus Bashem. Right? We can go through all the motions and do everything, but if it doesn't lead to an experience that brings a person close to Hashem, then the person has defeated the exercise. So what's going on here? Why does this work? Why does this harsh, confrontational method with self work? V'hatam, lefi shebe'emes ein shum mamoshes klal b'sidra achra. He says the real reason is that the forces of evil have no substance at all. there's really nothing to it. It's smoke and mirrors. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called darkness. Because darkness, interestingly, he takes the position here, is not substantive. Darkness is the void, the absence of light. It has nothing to it. That's why it's called darkness. And as a result of the fact that it has no substance, it is automatically pushed away as soon as you light a candle. Vikach hasitra achris, so too is it with evil. Av sheyesh b'chiyus harbe lahachis kol balechayim atmeim. Here he now is going to argue. He's saying, what do you mean it has no substance? Look how many treif animals there are in the world. Look how much garbage and schmutz there is in the world. How could you say it has no substance? He says, even though it is sustaining all of the non-kosher species. V'napshis umas akam, and the souls of the idolatrous nations. Vigam nefesh ha-bahamish b'Yisrael kenal, and in fact, as we discussed earlier, it is also the life source of the animal drive of Jews. So what do you mean it has no substance? It's huge. Mikol makom hare kol chiyusa eina mitzad atzma. What I'm saying, it's nothing to it. What I'm trying to explain, he says, is that it's not independent. It's not a different force. It's not like there's a godly force and then there's a dark force, like we see in that movie. No, it's not an independent force. El mitzad agdusha kanal. It is being sustained by holiness. Therefore, when one illuminates Kedusha in its presence, it completely disappears. It goes puff up into smoke because it becomes included in Kedusha. Rak. We must understand, however, that compared to the holiness of the godly soul, Sheba Adam, that a Jew has. Nosan Lakadosh Baruch Hu Rishus V'Yicholes Lagbi'atzma Kenegdo. Hashem gave the animal soul and, by extension, all the other forces that usurp their sustenance from Kedusha. He gave them their ability to lift themselves up and to challenge us morally and ethically. Why? Kadesha Adam is Eirelis Gabrielel, to give us reward for standing up against this imaginary force of evil. If not, there's no makom for Schar and Einish. Where's the room for reward and punishment? Were it not for the fact that we have to put up a fight against this smoke and mirrors force. So in order to give the Jew reward, to give him Bechira, the Rebbe Hashem created this illusion so that we have to stand up against it and we're able to be mevatlet by increasing the amount of Kedusha in the world. Le'ashpilo, and we get reward for overcoming it, to degrade it, ayidei shiflus v'nimichas ruchay v'nivzevein of nimas, to make it revolting and disgusting. Listen carefully. Ubisarusa delisata isarusa deliela. Lest we think that little tiny us is operating in a world of our own, and we're the only thing, says Chas V'Shalom. We must know that every time we take an ethical and moral standing against the smoke and mirrors of evil, that our action here below has huge ramifications above. Because what we do here below is imitated on high, L'kayim ha-shiksiv, to fulfill that which Hashem promises when he speaks about evil. Mishomer yitchanum Hashem. I will bring you down from there, Hashem says. Da'ainu. Shemisida mememshalta v'yichalta. When we make a moral and ethical choice, we enable HaKadosh Baruch Hu to diminish the power of evil in the world. U'misalek mimenu ha-koyach v'rishush shenosan la'lagbi'atzma. And we diminish the power of evil's ability, universally, to be able to present her evil design upon the world. So we could be sitting in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and we're tempted by some evil temptation, and we overcome that temptation, and a Jew is walking on the street in Japan, has a greater ability to overcome an evil temptation because the power of evil in the world has been diminished through our ethical and moral choice. That Hashem gave her, that ability that Hashem gave the power of evil to entice, to ensnare people in its false web, when we make a choice, that power gets weakened. And as a result, it falls away on its own. It just crumbles. It ceases to exist in face of the light of truth.
Is that the opposite?
The what? Yes. Yes. Unfortunately. Unfortunately, the opposite is true as well, meaning that when we act immorally, we embolden that power. We give the Sitra Achra greater chance, greater force. There's some saying from the Vilna Gaon that it's like the flaps of a butterfly. That a butterfly flaps its wings somewhere and it creates a hurricane somewhere else. So this is the same yisait. Where do we see this concept? He brings a phenomenal source.
The butterfly effect is from the Vilna Gaon.
No? That's where I heard it from. Hear that? His raya is so incredible and so out of place. Look at his proof. Right after the period, three quarters of the way down on page 74. He says, we find this concept explicitly in the Chumash. Gabi Meraglin, by the spies. The spies come back and they report to Klal Yisrael, this nation is stronger than us. Terrible things, right? And they say Hashem can't do it. They say those words. Hashem can't bring us there. And then the minute that Hashem tells them that they blew it, they can't go, they're the first ones to say, we're going. What happened? What changed? How did they get back all of a sudden the faith and the strength in Hashem? How did they hold them by Shabin Hashem Ois Umay Fisalze? Ben time. Nowhere in the Chumash is it recorded that Moshe Rabbeinu performed any of his. He never pulled out his special bag of tricks. Normally in Mitzrayim, at each and every turn, Moshe Rabbeinu pulls out his staff and his this and his that. He does all kinds of maivsim. Here, after the miraculum, he doesn't do a thing. So where all of a sudden did they get the chizuk to all of a sudden, we're going, Moshe. What happened? What changed? A minute ago he wasn't able to do it. Now all of a sudden he can do it? Raksham Alehem. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu did do to them? He did this method. Moshe Rabbeinu learned Tanya Perek Chavtes. And as a result of it, he knew how to deal with the Jews. Raksham Alehem Eich Shekotzev Hashem Alehem. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, Hashem is furious with you. V'nishba, and he promised, Shaloi Laviyem Ela Oretz, you guys ain't going into Eretz Yisrael. Uma Hoyil Zelohem, Im Loi Hoyim Aminim Yichoylis Hashem Lich Beshlamad Alef Melochim. He says, why would they have been upset about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, you can't go into the land, if they didn't believe that God could get him into the land? Elevadai, he says, so what? So who cares? So he screamed at them and said, Hashem's not bringing you there. They should have said, great, he couldn't do it anyway. Right? That's not what they say. They say, no, we want to go. What do you mean? You just said you don't want to go. You just said Hashem can't bring you there. I go and say, Hashem said he's not bringing you there. Everybody should have celebrated. So that's exactly what we wanted. Well, it doesn't, the story doesn't unfold right. There's something wrong with these Jews.
I always thought it was two different days. It's not though,
huh? I don't know. Huh? Says the Baal Tanya, very posh. It's so insightful. He says, Elevadai, he says, here's what's going on, guys. Mipnei Shigisrol Atzmom Hemaminim Benemaminim, because Jews left to their own devices inherently, intrinsically, are believers, the children of believers. That is the makeup of the Jew. It's the DNA of the Jews. We are Maminim. What happens is smoke and mirrors creeps in. Get rid of the smoke and mirrors, the Jew goes back to going to be the Jew. So as a result, the minute he clops them, hits them over the head, they said, no, we want to go. The minute he strikes them down, he gets rid of the smoke and mirrors of the Sitra Achra. Now all of a sudden they want to go again. Rakshat Sitra Achra, Mulavesh is Begufa. What happens, even though Klal Yisrael are faithful believers, the children of believers, they are attacked by the Sitra Achra, by the side of darkness. Excuse me. That is embodied in their, literally, it's dressed in their bodies. And the body, as he said earlier, comes from the Nefesh HaBahami, which is from the dark side. Is Higbiyah Atzmal, Arkadusha's Nafsham Alikis. So the body raised its consciousness over and above the Kedusha of their godly souls. Begasus Rucha, with its arrogance. Ubegavusa Bechutzbah, and with its inflated ego, with chutzpah, belita medas, without any reason and logic. Ulachain, therefore, miyad shekotz of Hashem aleihem, the minute Hashem allowed His wrath to be spilled upon them, vehirim kodash, and He raised an angry voice, v'roigiz, and He said, ad mosai le'ida harazois, Moshe, how long are you going to put up with this evil nation? Those bodies are going to die right here in the desert. And He called them an evil nation. The minute Klal Yisrael, who inherently are believers, heard these harsh words, Nichna v'nishba libam bikirbam, their hearts became humbled and broken within them. And kidichsiva yis ablu ha'am ma'oi, they mourned exceedingly. Umimela nafla ha'sitra achra mimem shelta vigavusa vigasas rucha. Automatically, when that mourning fell into place, the powers of evil fell off of their high horse. V'Yisrael atzmam hemaminem, and the true Jew emerged. Look at this, guys. This is where it's at. From here, every Jew can learn. This is incredible, guys. This is the answer to the teenage problem and to all the non-believable Jews and all of it. It's right here. Anytime a Jew has sveikus anemuna, when we begin to have doubts about our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't try proving things. That's not where the answer is. They've got it inherently. What is the Eitzah? Kem divrei ruach hasitra achra levado. It is the spirit of the side of evil alone. Hamagbia atzmal nafshe, that is raising its consciousness through the body over the person's intellect. Aval Yisrael atzmam hem aminim. The fact remains that the Jew unto himself is a mamin, is convinced of the truth. He says, more so, even the power of evil itself has no doubts. They also know where their source is. Evil itself knows that it's sustained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as we said earlier, when we learned earlier, permission was granted to evil to confuse people with words of falsehood and lies. It is the power that Hashem gave evil as the mashal that was given to the the Zohar. I think we did the mashal together, did we not? Mm-hmm. And we did the piece of Avedis Yisrael from the Kashrut Zemagid. Yeah. Just a quick recap. Kashrut Zemagid says, by when Yaakov Avinu struggled with the angel, so it says there that the angel said to Yaakov Avinu, let me go, I gotta go sing Shira. Higia Zmani Lema Shira. Right? Remember, Rashi quotes it there. What's up is now. All of a sudden, now his time came to sing Shira. See, he quotes this parable. The Zohar says that there was a king, and the king wanted to make sure that his child was worthy of inheriting the throne. So he hired a prostitute to tempt his son. Okay? Says the Zohar, what does the prostitute really want? because she's a loyal servant of the king. She wants the kid to overcome. She wants the prince not to succumb, right? Nonetheless, as a loyal subject of the king, she has to do the best job she can. Says the Zohar, that's the Sidra Achra. Sidra Achra wants to do the will of the king, but has to do the best job it can. So he says, the Tsar of Esav was the force of darkness. That's who he was. That's who Yaakov Avinu was struggling with. The minute Yaakov Avinu was victorious in the struggle, so the Tsar of Esav says, I got to go sing Shira, because I've never had a person who beat me as well as you beat me, and I want to go report to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what kind of people he's got on earth who were able to do the job, just like the prostitute would go and back to the king and say, Adoni HaMelech, you don't know who your son is. That's how this angel went back to the Rebbe Shlomo to report about Yaakov Avinu. See, he's saying here like this. What's the solution in dealing with teenagers? Give him a zetz, because he's dealing with teenagers. You got teenagers who have sveikas and emunah, he says it's baloney. That's not true. They don't have sveikas and emunah. They have distractions by smoke and mirrors. If you are able to clop down that force by proving its futility, by proving it the lie that it is, that its existence is a lie, then the result of that will be that the Jew, the true Jew, will emerge. It's interesting, if you look into the Holocaust stories, or you look into the Spanish Inquisition stories, we had Jews who were completely non-observant. And the moment comes when they're in trouble, and they get their bodies get a good zetz, all of a sudden what comes out, it's the old Yisoid, that there are no atheists in foxholes. Right? Because you diminish the facade that the Yetzer Hara puts up, and the result of that is that the neshama of the Jew emerges.
How come it never stays?
I mean, because immediately it's an ebb and flow. Yeah, he goes right back to doing his job. Now, Perek Lamed, he's going to give another solution, which is how to interact with other people. Also, a critical solution in dealing with one's Yetzer Hara. So we'll take that up in Mitzvah Shem next Wednesday.